Island of Black and White, thanks so much for coming to North State Public Radio today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So first, I just want to kind of introduce you to the listeners. Can you kind of tell us, like, sort of the origin story of the band, how it first came together, and, you know, sort of the original lineup?
Yeah. So it's been a long journey. Technically, Island of Black and White started in circa 2005 to 2004, 2005. Me and a buddy, just two acoustic guitars. And since then, we met Noelle, and she started getting us real gigs, getting us paid. And then she became the drummer. And then Timmy, I went to high school with, we've been playing music for 12 years, 13 years now. And he started playing bass for us, and then he's our guitar player now. And we found Scott.
Last year
on Craigslist. And he fit right in. And we also have a percussionist, Patrick Peakey, which is Timmy's brother.
We have the same last name.
Yeah, and that's it. So now we're a five piece, and we play music
all the time.
And I know you guys travel pretty often to perform, but is there some place that you would say you're kind of based out of, or like where your home base is?
We say it's Sacramento area, Folsom, El Dorado Hills, Sacramento area.
Foothills?
Yeah, the foothills, yeah.
Nice. Yes. And how do you like sort of living in that area as like a place to be musicians?
It's pretty nice.
I love it, yeah.
There's a lot of places to play, and you know, California's awesome. You can go to Tahoe or the Bay Area in a couple hours, and people really enjoy live music around there, so.
Yeah, it's pretty central, easy to get everywhere.
Nice. And this weekend, you're playing at Gold Country Casino?
That's right, yeah. We had a show there last night, and then we're playing tonight.
8:30 to 1:30. It's our first time in Oroville.
Nice. And when was it that you first kind of started playing sort of the casino circuit and kind of getting into that routing for live performance?
It's been about probably 3 years, 3 or 4 years we've been playing casinos. We work with a local company, and they help us book all the casinos, so we've been on the casino route for a while.
Nice. And I want to kind of ask a question that's sort of individual for everyone, but I'm curious, how did you each like sort of first individually get started in music? Like as a kid, or was it more recent, or... What's each of your stories as far as becoming musicians?
I did choir. I kind of always wished I had chosen band, but I chose choir when I was little. And then I used to just bang on tables and play percussion. I grew up in Egypt, so we were big on percussion and belly dancing and drumming and that type of thing. I used to get kicked out of class for banging on tables all the time. But after that, it wasn't for a while. I never really thought I would be doing it seriously. It was just kind of for fun. And it wasn't until I met Chris that that I actually played a drum kit. A friend of ours gave us a drum kit, and I kind of messed around with it at home. But still, at that point, I never thought I would be playing it on stage. If you had told me 10 years ago that I would be on stage, I would have thought you were crazy.
Go ahead.
I just liked ska when I was a kid. I was bored. There's nothing to do on the East Coast, like where I grew up. So I started playing ska, and the band I joined as a sax player in like sixth grade, they didn't have a bass player, so that was it. Angry Goldfish was the name. Angry Goldfish. That's great. Teenage ska band.
That's awesome. We should change the band name.
Still got that MySpace account.
Oh, my God. And I started in fourth grade. I started playing alto saxophone and then played that up until high school, and then started playing guitar. And, I just haven't put it down since. Just always in my hand and always listening to music. And yeah, I don't know. It's always something to learn on it. You never really figure it all out.
So. Nice.
That's my story.
That was deep.
I have been playing piano longer than I can remember. I'm pretty sure my parents just sat me down in it when I was like two. Took some lessons. My dad was really into a lot of music. He's got a bunch of vinyl, and he used to listen to it all the time with me. High school, I picked up the guitar because it was a lot more mobile than a piano. Just kind of taught myself, and then that was it. Yeah, that was the start of the band there.
And Chris, is it fair to say that you're kind of the principal songwriter of the band?
Yeah. Everybody, you know, contributes within their own instrument, and we all share ideas. I also have a couple of lyricists that I, my friends and
co-writers.
We call them co-writers. I write most of the songs.
I want to come back to the lyricist thing because that's really interesting. But I wanted to ask, like, how old were you when you first started writing your own songs?
16, somewhere nice. Around there.
Do you remember what your very first song was about?
Yeah, I do.
Can you say it?
Can you share with us?
Actually, the first song that I wrote, my buddy Dan actually wrote the words. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember the first song I actually wrote, you know, the lyrics and the words. Do you remember?
There are a lot of them. I think a bunch of them made it on our first album. On our first album were a lot of the older songs that Chris had written a while back. Then brought to the band and continued playing, and they kind of evolved over the years. But a lot of the songs we play now still, Chris, you know, wrote days ago and then never did anything with it, and we kind of brought it to the band.
Yeah, we have like a binder, and it's just full of
lyrics,
old songs, that
poems, and
may never see the light of day.
Yeah,
that's one of the titles.
And I used to write, but I don't write any music, so I would write something and then I would give it to Chris, and he'd kind of make it happen.
Nice. Is that work better for you, Chris, to have someone else give you lyrics first, or do you kind of come to the lyricists with kind of the music prepared, and then they will help? They'll kind of craft the lyrics around like the mood of the music.
It's always different. I've done it both ways. I think when I do work with another writer, it's better if they just write something and then I can kind of take it and use it and shape it however I want.
Nice. And I understand that you play quite a few instruments. Or how many instruments does everybody in the band play each? Like that as part of this project live?
So the percussion player plays, you know, all the percussion.
All kinds of bongos, congas,
timbale,
shakers,
yeah,
tambourine.
Noel is on the drum kit. Scott plays bass.
Barely.
Timmy plays electric guitar.
Timmy also plays bass, but in this lineup, he plays electric guitar.
Yeah, and with Eyeliner Black and White, I play keyboards, organ, and piano. And rhythm guitar.
An accordion. And melodica.
And flute.
Oh, gosh.
And he plays the talk box every once in a while.
Chris, are there any instruments that you would like to learn that you haven't yet implemented into the band live?
Yes. Fiddle and tenor sax. I would love to play both of those one day.
At the same time?
Yeah.
And my next question is kind of following up more on songwriting. We already talked about it a little bit as far as working with other lyricists, but I was hoping you could take us through the Island of Black and White writing process. Like, how does a song start, and then how does it work when you're collaborating together, kind of fleshing that out into the final product?
So sometimes we have words, just words that are cool or sound good or like a poem. And then we'll bring it to Chris, or I'll bring it to Chris, or a friend of ours will bring it to Chris, and he'll kind of try to put music to it. Other times, Chris will have a really cool riff or a cool piece of music that he wrote that doesn't have words yet, and then he'll bring that to us, and we'll kind of jam on it. I think once we have kind of a general idea, then we bring it to the band and we all kind of add our thoughts. And
yeah, we've had a few songs that well, we I'm going to start by saying we play so many shows, anywhere from 250 to 300 a year. So we find it hard to have time to practice. So the shows are our practice. So we've had a few songs that, and I do like doing it this way, where we'll have an idea, a general idea, and we'll play that song. And eventually, over time, playing it live, new things happen in the moment in front of people, you know. Somebody will do a riff or I'll sing some weird note and then that'll become something and then everybody adds to it. It's really nice to do that. Time Will Not Wait, one song from our first album, it didn't even have a chorus and we were playing it at shows, you know, what, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. And one day I just, you know, in the moment I sang the chorus and then that was it. And the song was born.
I think there was a line in the song and he just repeated it on stage and that became the chorus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there, you know, it's always different with songs. There's always a different way that they're becoming songs, which is, it's part of the creative process.
I'm wondering, playing so many shows per year, like does it kind of feel like sometimes it gets in the way of like inspiring new songs, or do you find that it actually kind of keeps you in that creative, constantly in that creative mindset where it sort of just, you know, creates a conduit for like songwriting to just continuously happen?
I think it changes all the time.
Yeah,
I think sometimes it's flowing and continuing and going, and other times we're just so busy.
Yeah.
Right? You know, yeah. Like recently it feels like, right now, it feels like we're so busy that we haven't had a moment to sit down and kind of collaborate on a song. But we still do this thing where, like, Chris will have a cool idea, he'll record it on his phone, and he'll send it to Timmy. He'll be like, oh, check this out. And then Timmy will go home and mess with it a little bit. And sometimes Chris will be at his computer for hours. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, Timmy sent me this cool guitar part. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the question, right? Like, how do you always keep the creative juices flowing? And there is no, you know, surefire answer to make it always happen. But that's just, you know, that's just how it is with everybody always, you know.
Very true. I was going to ask about kind of being traveling musicians and on the road all the time. And what's something that you say that you would like, that you like best about the traveling musician lifestyle? And what are some aspects of it that you find challenging?
Well, we, about, I think 2 years ago, we did I'd call a huge tour. We did about 40, 45 days, and we went all the way down California and then east all the way over to Louisiana.
Hollywood, Phoenix, Flagstaff.
Those ones, yeah.
New Mexico.
Albuquerque, yeah. Santa Fe, Houston.
Austin
for South by Southwest, yeah. And New Orleans.
It's really cool to, you know, when we play locally, you always see familiar faces and family, and they kind of know what's coming, and we know it's coming. But when you play somewhere you've never been, I mean, they've never seen you, and you're just like, oh, this is going to be so awesome. We're going to play and, you know, blow their minds, obviously. No. But it's just, I don't know, it's fun to travel and go somewhere you've never been, and all the, you know, hotel rooms, like, it sounds kind of a pain, but, you know, you remember all the hard times more than, oh, yeah, that was easy.
Yeah. 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 Lots of traveling, lots of driving. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And what would you say are, like, maybe, like, two or three of, like, your favorite places that you've been, you always look forward to coming back to play there? You mentioned like New Orleans and South by Southwest. Those are both pretty exciting places to go.
Yeah, super fun. Austin is always fun because there's so many people there from all over the world, which is really cool. So it's a great opportunity to get to play in front of all those people. It's also a lot of hard work and it's expensive and it's a far drive for us. We have a lot of local venues too at home that we look forward to. Like we play in the Coloma area, which is a little river area in our spot. We love playing out there. Yeah,
Auburn.
Yeah,
I like Flagstaff, Arizona.
Flagstaff.
It kind of reminds me of you know Placerville, Coloma, hometown, and Corrales. Albuquerque,
New Mexico. Yeah,
and South Lake Tahoe. It's very fun.
Oh yeah,
also
definitely.
Do you find that your music resonates with river rafting guides in any way?
Yes, absolutely.
next week, we're playing a river raft company's...
Oh, yeah. On Wednesday, we are playing the Oars Boathouse Tour in Coloma. And Oars is a local rafting company. And then we're also doing Heart to Heart on Friday, which is a local winery there in Coloma, Pilot Hill. And then on Saturday, we're doing Marcos. So this whole next week, we're actually in the Coloma area playing for the River People. And the River People are awesome. The River People. We love the little river towns.
River guides like to party.
They like to dance.
They like to dance.
Have fun.
They're just always happy.
Yeah.
And we play that kind of music.
Well, I just have two questions, and that's why I asked about river rafting, because I know you play in Coloma a lot, and I only went there once, and they had a really cool like live music club, and when I heard your music, I'm like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Like, this is what people want to hear after like celebrating a long day out on the river.
So
just two questions left, and this is another one that's kind of for everybody, but it's like, what is like sort of the best songwriting tip or just... sort of piece of musical advice that you've gotten from someone else or just sort of discovered on your own that like you would like to share?
I would say stay conscious. Know what works and what doesn't.
Be aware.
Remember what you do. Always try and go outside the box. Do things you wouldn't normally do. And just remember what works and what doesn't. And try and pull them out whenever you can.
I think for me... is have fun is a big one, and be yourself, because I think a lot of us get self-conscious at times and nervous, and we're all really hard on ourselves as artists and most artists in general. And I think the main thing is have fun and be yourself and kind of just let your light shine, because everyone's different, and I think what makes you unique is your differences. And so I think, you know, and smiling. People tell me I smile a lot on stage, and I think that started out because I used to be nervous, but now I'm just having a good time. And so really just being in the moment and smiling and having fun and, you know.
I'd say, you know, don't, when you're trying to write something, it's maybe don't like, you know, sell yourself so short. But, you know, you write something, you're like, oh, that's not good. But I think if you maybe record something like on your phone and then just let it sit there for a while, maybe listen to it a couple days later, you're like, oh, you know, that sounds completely different. And
that's a good question. I mean, that's tough.
It's a fully loaded question.
Yeah. I would say a couple things. Don't try too hard, but you have to try really hard. Don't do the same old thing, like get out of the box, but stay in the box.
Contradicting yourself.
Exactly. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no answer. I mean, sometimes you go for a walk, and sometimes you're sitting on your couch and you find something. But definitely always stick with it. Practice, of course. You know, they say 10,000 hours to become a professional. Go for 20, you know. Learn a new instrument.
Tune your guitar differently.
Yeah. Just be patient. But don't be patient. That's it. That's the answer.
Yeah.
I like it. My last question is about the song that you played for us today in the studio. What's the name of the song, and what can you tell us about it?
The song is called West Edge, and it's on our newest album, which was released in July. And the album is called West Edge. Mm-hmm. And Chris did all the art for it. You guys should check it out. It's really cool. And you can find it on our website, islandofblackandwhite.com, or on Spotify, on iTunes. It's all over the place. And that song is really fun. It's probably one of my favorites. I know that Chris, I think, wrote most of it, but then we had some... ideas from different places. I think I may have added a couple words here or there, but it was really fun because it was around the time when we were traveling and road tripping a lot. So it's the words are literal, I think.
Yeah, it's just about the California coast, driving up and down it, which is what we did a lot. And there's a lot of food in that song, I realize. I mean, that,
this, like, when but it's true.
When I think about
we
it,
eat more
yeah.
than
we,
any
we
other
like
band.
Food. So we food do. Is
we,
good.
We
and
play
it's
music
important.
And we
yeah.
eat. We play music so we can eat.
We love trying new foods on the road. So that was a big part of it. But it's funny because the foods that we mention in the song are foods that we eat, you know, regularly. But Beach Hut is in there, and that's a local. A local restaurant where we live, but they're kind of all over. They've spread out now. Beach Hut Deli used to be Beach House.
I think there's one here.
We're really good friends with Troy, who started it, you know, back in the day. But they're amazing, and they're super supportive and love, and they've got this really big family, happy, you know, positive, friendly vibe, and they're always welcoming. And so that was kind of, I think, inspiring at the time. And it's funny because the lyrics were a little different, but we changed it, you know, over the years, and that's where it ended up. Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, just traveling and being on the road and having fun, and yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm gonna pass it over to Rochelle in case she has any last minute questions here.
Uh-oh.
When did you learn to ride the unicycle, and how long have you been riding?
Oh, that's good. How long ago was it?
It was Christmas.
6 years ago?
For Christmas, someone gave me
a unicycle.
An old unicycle, yeah.
And
I was like, oh no, why did they do that?
Unicycles are tough at first, but once you learn them, it becomes really easy. So I have this thing that I do where I get obsessed with something and I hyper-focus on it. So for 2 weeks, I was on the unicycle in the house because I made up my mind. I'm like, I'm going to learn how to do this. And I'd be watching TV and, you know, on the unicycle. And Noah's like, can you give me something from the kitchen? And, you know, unicycle to the kitchen. And then I started collecting them, and now I have like 8 unicycles, all different sizes.
So first the obsessing and then the collecting. This happens pretty often with Chris.
My grandmother gave me her old accordion before that, probably 7 or 8 years ago, maybe even longer. Shoot,
I think probably 10 years because you had it when we met.
Okay, yeah. And I learned that, you know, accordion's a beautiful instrument. It's a piano on one side, so I already had that part. It's also a dying instrument. You don't see people playing them too often. So I really wanted to learn that. Learned it. Once I learned the unicycle, I was like, well, why can't I put these two together? So that's how you see the unicycling accordionist. At some shows.
Unicornianism.
It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Accordion cycle.
Any other questions?
What's your dream venue? Do you have one? The whole band.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I can answer for Chris. I remember... when we met a long time ago, Chris said, it's my dream to play there. I think it was Memorial Auditorium in Sacramento. It was a big one. I mean, there's so many big venues. Obviously, any of the big ones would be awesome. There's the Fillmore. There's Crest theater?
I'd love to. I've never been there to even see a show, but to play there would be awesome. Would be the Red Rocks Amphitheater in, I think it's Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
he's like, nodding yes.
Like if you just look at any picture of a band playing there, like at like dawn, it's like the crazy. The backdrop is all red rocks. Like it's just natural. It's super cool. So we'll probably maybe next year.
Yeah. You know, we've also, I mean, I can't think of anywhere right now, but we've also played a lot of venues that I thought 5 years ago, you know, that's my dream venue. And we played it, so it was really cool. So, yeah, always aim bigger, higher.
Stronger.
You know that coffee shop down the road? I really want to play there.
Why not? We used to do coffee shops all the time. It was our thing.
Nice. All right. Well, I'll pull this back.
Island of Black and White, thank you so much for coming to NSPR today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
Just want to say, check us out at islandofblackandwhite.com. You can find our full calendar there. We have music on Spotify, iTunes. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. And,
Come see us play.
Yeah, come see us play.
Awesome.